Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to the Euro Clutch. I'm Ian Hamilton, and it's been a while. It's been about 3 months now since Forbidden Door weekend, and for my money, in the weeks, and let's be frank, months since then, the wrestling scene in London has become a bit of a mixed bag. My main talking point for this episode was going to be just how muted things have been amongst the quote-unquote big London promotions, but two of the three have announced some pretty big shows lately, and I guess, you know, it would be unfair to, you know, bury the lead, so let's start with that. Of course, we're talking about Rev Pro announcing that they're going to be running Wembley Arena the night before AEW's return to Wembley for All in 2026. And, it, of course, it's not the first time we've had one of the big trendy promotions run Wembley Arena, at least in this millennium. Of course, Progress ran Hello Wembley there back in 2018. And, yeah, we're going to be, what, 80 years, not the day, but near enough by the time Rev Pro run there. And, you know, you'd think, well, surely there's been a lot of churn in the scene. You know, very few names will be, you know, on the Rev Pro show that would have worked the Progress show. And there's not that many. Of course, a lot of names moved down, moved up and moved out. But if you look at the Progress card from Wembley 2018, it's only a few names like Chuck Mambo, TK Cooper, Chris Ridgeway, Michael Oku, David Francisco. And be, you know, frank, you know, Chris Ridgeway, he did, what, the Blue Panther match at Anniversary Weekend and hasn't been really seen on Rev Pro show since. Not Mambo and Cooper, you know, the Machine, there are, you know, somewhat regulars, you know, part of the furniture on Rev Pro. Mike Lork, who, of course, you know, the only thing that'd be a doubt about him being on this show is if he's been signed, and you know, that's been a horse that's been beaten so dead it's come back to life and been killed again. And, of course, David Francisco, who, I don't want to say it's like a bad penny of Rev Pro, but seems to be one of those names and face who's going to be around, you know, at some part on the card. So you've got, what, four, five, six names there who could be there. And you've got, like, you know, Trent Seven, who, okay, just wrapped up a storyline in Rev Pro. Nina Samuels, of course, there's been, you know, question marks about, you know, her future. Connor Mills, you know, grizzled young veteran. So, you know, a few names which, you know, various degrees all over the Rev Pro card. And you know, you'd think, you know, in terms of gates, I think the, you know, tickets have been out on pre-sale for a while now. I believe the latest count we had was about 2,000 sold, which, bear in mind, Rev Pro's going for the full Wembley Arena setup. That's a hell of a, you know, first knock. You know, bear in mind, all we have is a venue and a date. There's no talent announcements. Definitely no matches. I mean, that's a big bugbear for Rev Pro in 2025 is, my word, was match announcements. But, you know, 2,000-ish sold so far. You'd think Rev Pro have got two goals, you know, whether publicly or privately. You know, the 2023 Copper Box Gate, you know, 4,072, that's the one they'll want to clear. But the bigger one, perhaps, it's not too much further on from that. 4,750, which was what Progress announced at the 2018 show in Wembley. Hey, who knows, maybe Andy Quilden will get a shiny new plaque to go with that. Now, going back a little bit further before Progress, of course, there was a promotion that ran a lot in Wembley Arena, relatively speaking. Of course, it wasn't a British promotion. Of course, we are talking about TNA Wrestling. Even used again lately for that AMC deal. But, you know, back in the, what, late 2010s, they had a big run of shows at Wembley Arena back when TNA was hot over here. You know, you I'm not going to count WWE, you know, their household tours, always, you know, touch Wembley Arena. And to be fair, you know, it's a apples and oranges comparison. You know, TNA maybe not quite apples to apples, well, definitely not apples to apples, but not the newest thing. You know, I'm going to go back to the last run of TNA. You know, 2016, they drew about 4,000 for Explosion one night only, you know, back when, you know, they were really, you know, flirting around with different formats. Ironically, flirting with us, the year they had Will Ospreay on their books for the brief whiles before he went to the New Japan route and whatever else happened there. 2015, we had two episodes of Impact taped at Wembley Arena. For about 4,500 people turn up there, these are cage match estimations. That was the year where we had Kurt Angle winning the TNA title from Lashley back when he was happy to lose. And for those of you who remember, I was there, this was the year where we had the EC3 and Spud, that blood-soaked hair versus hair match, which, yeah, if you were part of the crowd at Wembley Arena that night, that was magic and, you know, that burned into your skull. 2013-2014 cage match, don't have crowd estimates, so we'll hand wave that. We go back to 2012 and we had 7,000 there for another double impact taping with James Storm and Sting beating Bobby Roode and Bully Ray. Before that, TNA didn't do TV, it was just house shows, and you know, that's what led to, you know, the big announcement of TNA doing TV here, which was a big deal back in the time. But yeah, 2011, we had 6,000 for house show with Mr. Anderson and Jeff Hardy on top. 7,000 in 2010 for AJ Styles and Kurt Angle in the main event, with an Ultimate X match involving Doug Williams. Then, after that, you know, sort of we'll touch upon WWE. The last time we hit Wembley Arena was October 2023, 8,291 there. But ironically, you're going to be looking to the, you know, the heyday of the black and gold brand, NXT TakeOver London. This was in 2015, December 2015. 10,079 there. That was topped with Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. And, you know, they're back there at Wembley Arena in January for a SmackDown taping, which I know a few of the people with the tinfoiled hats were a little bit surprised with, you know, Breath Pro were able to get their stuff on sale, but they are, I guess, whatever, you know, exclusivity the WWE has, you know, didn't stretch to this particular one, but it's a moot point. So yeah, RevPro, they've already, you know, staked their claim for the all-in shoulder shows in 2026. As it stands, you know, Pro Wrestling Eve, you know, like to do their usual venue. Progress likes to do the usual venue. Riot Cabaret, they're running Friday 28th August for Clapham Grand, so their usual venue. But yeah, if you're speaking about Pro Wrestling Eve, you know, they're not running a big show over all-in weekend, but they are doing a big show. And it's at a venue not too far from where AEW ran this past year. This is the big story coming out of the London wrestling scene. This is Pro Wrestling Eve and Wrestle Queendom 8. This is coming up on March 8, 2026 at the Indigo at the O2. Now, it's a big deal because, you know, it's a, you know, big venue. I believe the first time we've had wrestling at the Indigo. For those of you not too familiar with the setup, it's part of the O2 complex, so the old Millennium Dome, you know, got turned into the O2. You've got the O2 Arena, which is the arena inside that, but there's a big shopping restaurant complex within there. The Indigo is like a small music venue within, so Indigo to the O2, but, you know, expect to see some people, you know, shorthandly say it's the O2, unless we're copying and pasting from press releases and what have you. And at time of speaking this, it's about, completely out of seated tickets, so it's all standing room only. And, you know, I know there's some disgruntlement about the way the announcement was presenting this as Will Ospreay presents Pro Wrestling Eve. It's been dialed down now, you know, his voice is all over the promos. You know, they've gotten the Will Ospreay name out there in the initial announcement, which has gotten, you know, people's interest and what have you. But yeah, we're very much, you know, looking, I'd say, maybe about a little north of 1,000 capacity, which, you know, it's a hell of a show. I mean, it's one I would be looking going to had I not already had my weekend, that particular weekend, blocked off for 16-carat gold in Germany. And also quite a few people who, ruining is maybe not the right word, but kind of wishing that this show was not taking place on, you know, another big weekend in Europe. But we already have a couple of matches announced for Wrestle Queendom 8. Now, the first match they have announced is a pretty big one, at least from, you know, names and, you know, getting back in the swing of things. It's Chris Statlander. Of course, she is the current AEW Women's Champion, but also the EVE International Champion. She's going to be defending against someone who's going by under one name these days, Charlie, of course, formerly known as Dakota Kai, previously formerly known as Evie. I believe that is going to be her first appearance since her WWE release earlier this year. Elsewhere on the undercard, they announced Jamie Hayter against Miri Mashta. And no, while not announced, you'd expect, based on what's going on, the current EVE champion Rio, you'd expect to take on the winner of the She-1 tournament. Now, it's a bit of a sidebar. So the She-1 tournament they've been doing for a long while now, going back to the Resistance Gallery days, but it's a different format. It's no longer the four shows, intense round robin tournament, but always, you know, had someone injured by the end of a weekend. It's been done as a knockout format, but this time it's been split over two shows. So January, you're getting the quarterfinals and the semifinals, with the final on the February show, and you'd expect, you know, a quick turnaround from February to March for the title match. Heck, and in terms of brackets for the She-1, may as well go through these now. So they've been doing, across the past few shows, I guess pre-qualifying matches or qualifiers. They've used those terms interchangeably depending on the story or, you know, what fits. But in terms of the matches, so from the qualifiers, we had Nita Vaughn beating Vipers, Emi Sakura beating Rain Leverkusen, Sky Smithson beating Amira in a spot which, I guess, if your tolerance for comedy in wrestling is, you know, floor level, you would not like the segment went viral, and I'm just going to leave it there. Absolutely not my grabs, but I can see why people liked it. Martine beat Sue Young to qualify, while Melissa Fierce and Alexis Falcon had Alexis Falcon go through. Molly Spartan beat Violet Knight, and on the show in November, Sapphire Reed overcame Danny Moe, which means we have these brackets for the quarterfinals on January 9th. This is at the Big Penny Social in Walthamstow. Anita Vaughn taking on the winner of Abby Cartwright and X. Emi Sakura against Sky Smithson's the other quarterfinal. Martina and Alexis Falcon's the third quarterfinal. Holly Spartan Sapphire Reed's the fourth. So it'll be Anita Vaughn and the winner of Abby and X versus the winner of Emi Sakura, Sky Smithson. Martina and Falcon winner versus the winner of Spartan Sapphire Reed. There'll be two semifinals, and the final will be taking place on February the 6th. Again, Big Penny Social for the Multiverse Rumble show. And yeah, looking at this, we're looking at two shows in March. March 6th, again, Big Penny, then March 8th, 2 days later at the Indigo VO2. So very much a packed lineup for EVE going into 2026. And, you know, their promotion, I went to the live show, there's a Elite Encounters in November. It's another one I want to get back to just because, you know, the atmosphere is completely different, at least from, you know, the standard wrestling I've been going to see with RevPro, but not a product which is without its flaws, but, you know, certainly one I'd want to dedicate an entire episode to rather than, you know, a quick two-minute ramble. So we'll be doing that in the new year. Like I say, the fact that you've got the She-1 over two shows, then your big show at the Indigo. It's a lot of, you know, big headline events in a short space of time, which, you know, could backfire, I suppose, you know, especially in, you know, this market and this economy. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, like I say, the fact that the tickets flew out for the big tentpole show, the interest is there. I think now it's just going to be a case of what names do they get to round out that card. And has EVE, you know, going in with the AEW imports pretty much every month since this past summer. You know, whether that's going to hit a point of burnout. But again, that's something you can dive into at a later point. But what I want to go back to is the, I guess, the general feeling of malaise across the promotions in London. So I'm going to throw names out here. Again, these are just my opinions. You know, I'm pretty sure people listening to this will, you know, have a pop at me saying, oh, how dare you, you're just miserably grumpy, you don't like this. Well, I think a lot of what I'm saying here, this isn't like me, you know, throwing out emotional, oh, I didn't like this, therefore it sucks. What I'm showing, what I'm bringing forward is just what I'm seeing and how, from a, you know, taking a step back, you know, not being, you know, not in the middle of a forest kind of view, is just how this kind of looks from the outside. So, I know this year there's a general feeling that Progress were starting to get back into their groove, so to speak. Although then, you know, early in this autumn, we had GCW's Bloodsport pushing progress to the matinee spot, which is like, I get, you know, Bloodsport's a big name, but if you're willingly taking a back seat to that particular Bloodsport card, which was missing, you know, any kind of tentpole name that would, you know, get people to it, it's just weird. Like, I get, you know, Progress wanted to be partners with GCW, but putting your own show and, you know, literally calling out your own show as the one you can skip is just weird. I mean, heck, the fact, you know, they just rebranded their video on demand platform. There was always, you know, Demand Progress when Demand Progress Plus with, I guess, the unfortunate acronym there. Now it's part of something called Hooked on Wrestling TV. And it's like, that says a lot without actually saying it about what you perceive your brand to be valued at when your own promotion doesn't even have its own streaming platform. Like, you know, back in the day, say, oh, no, it was Progress was on Demand Progress. Okay, now it's on Triller TV if you want to watch live stuff, but that's by the by. But the fact that now, you know, their entire catalogue is just mushed into, I guess, something that's trying to be like a BritRes equivalent of the old High Spots network. I guess, you know, in terms of value for money, great. But one, you know, maybe this has changed since I looked on their launch day. You can't actually see what the catalogue is unless you're a signed up paying member, which, you know, is a hell of a way to, you know, convert people, you know, hide the catalogue behind a paywall. But at the same point, it's also very much confusing the marketing in and around Progress, where it's Progress, it's WrestleTunes, it's Hooked on Wrestling TV. It's like, back in the day, you just go to Progress and everything had that brand in. Now, as we head into 2026, it has been diluted into such a ridiculous level. And if it's working, then great. But again, as someone from the outside looking in, you know, you're going to your first show and you're seeing so many different brand names, so many different things, but which are being pointed your way. Is WrestleTunes, you know, what is WrestleTunes? Why is that something you want to remember from Progress? And unless you want to go to WrestleMania, you know, what is Hooked on Wrestling TV? It's just such a confused offering that it's probably doing a lot more harm than good, at least, you know, for those who aren't, you know, already front and centre in the Progress bubble. I mean, apart from, you know, quibbles over branding, you know, you look away from, you know, the big tentpole shows on the tops of cards. My feeling is the juice just isn't there when it comes to the British scene at the moment. You know, we're not on the same level in terms of, you know, the buzz we were getting in 2016, 2017, 2018. You know, you're not getting, like, the, you know, the revolving door of big names. Like, the dream matches, you know, that used to be, you know, RevPro's bread and butter to an extent. And right now, you know, there aren't that many dreams. You know, back in the day, they were, they'd be pulling a lot of names from New Japan when they were ice hot. I guess just screwed my bit there. But, you know, when they were red hot, now New Japan's ice cold. And I guess this is the problem when a lot of your big show business is plucked from other people's wrestlers. You know, eventually you're going to run out of wrestlers who are hot and, you know, will sell tickets. You know, earlier this year we saw with the Mercedes Money doing, was it High Stakes in Doncaster? Granted, it was WrestleMania weekend. Granted, it was Easter Sunday. Granted, it was Doncaster, you know, a first-time town for RevPro. That was a show you'd have expected RevPro to have, you know, sold out in a heartbeat. And it wasn't close. Now, that's not a knock on RevPro. It's not a knock on Money. It's not a knock on Doncaster. Well, maybe it is. But it just says, you know, if this was, you know, 7 years ago, that show would have been sold out in an instant, and look where we are now. But I guess also where we are now is a completely different landscape as far as how, you know, wrestling fans perceive wrestling. You know, 10 years ago, the wide perception of WWE was not so great. Fans were tired of the same old stuff. You know, WWE, at least amongst, you know, a certain section of the fan base, which independent wrestling invariably speaks to, you know, they were pretty much, you know, Venn diagram with very little overlap. And now, you know, WWE, for better or for worse, you know, very much seem to be on a resurgence, at least in terms of, you know, the online fans, as insufferable as they do tend to be. Well, everyone's insufferable to their own degrees. And, you know, the rise and launch of AEW, you know, means that now you have that alternative for the most part. And, you know, I've said this before, people who flocked to New Japan, to, you know, RevPro, to Progress, to wherever, as an alternative for WWE without leaving wrestling. They have their alternative now for the most part. And, you know, the effects of AEW, you know, they've taken a lot of the names from there, you know, Ospreay, you know, via New Japan. You know, New Japan lost a lot of guys to AEW, which has meant that, you know, New Japan, they're still rebuilding, but certainly don't have the buzz and the, you know, must-see value that they had even, you know, 6-7 years ago before the pandemic. You know, and again, the creation of AEW, not to beat my dead horse again, the sheer volume of wrestling output that's out there. You know, you're talking about, what is it, you know, 3 hours of, about 2 hours of Raw, 3 hours of SmackDown, NXT. If you're the sicker wants to watch Evolve, it's there, main event. You know, so you're talking a good, you know, let's say 6 hours, 6-7 hours, for, just for WWE. Then 2 hours of TNA, you know, if you're that much, you know, in the rabbit hole. Then you've got, you know, 4 of AEW, 5, and plus if you want to add, you know, Ring of Honor. And especially in Europe, you ain't watching this stuff live for the most part. So that's pretty much every weeknight you are taking, watching, you know, catch-up wrestling. Which means when it comes to the weekend, where a lot of the indies invariably live, you know, are you all wrestled out by then? Do you have other stuff to do in, you know, in the real world outside of, you know, WWE on Netflix, you know, AEW on Triller, you know, another site. I think that is part of the issue which, you know, has been extremely underreported with the indies. You know, you've had the churn of names leaving, you know, for the new positions being created. The indies, I'm speaking in vast generalized terms here, have not done a good job in getting people ready to step up. Like, not that they're incompetent, but just the X factors, so to speak, that make people stars and make them must see. There's very few names out there where you'd go, I absolutely must see them because X, Y, Z. You know, yes, if you're, you know, watching, you know, independent different scenes, there are names would jump out, but for someone from the outside to all this, you're not seeing like a Grado we had, you know, 10, 15 years ago. You know, that kind of name simply doesn't seem to exist these days. And, you know, as the world gets into more content, as you get, you know, social media, TikTok, your Instagram, YouTube, we're so far removed from the days of just the 5 TV channels in the UK and, you know, whatever Sky had. Just getting the attention now is harder than ever. So, yeah, it's the kind of thing now where, you know, the amount of people who have time to get fully invested on the independence, I would say, is smaller than ever, because never mind the mainstream stuff that's, you know, WWE, AEW, and, you know, everything else that's fine for your attention. But then, you know, a lot of these independents now, they are running way more than they used to. You know, Progress, you know, still, you know, monthly. But, you know, Rev Pro, like, they've run virtually weekly in 2025. You know, they've said, you know, hinting we're going to run even more next year, which, you know, my big criticism about Rev Pro this year has been they've kind of morphed into GCW of the UK. I will get onto that in my next bit because I have a lot to say about that, but, you know, going back to the economy side of things, you know, back in the heyday of wrestling, like when I first started going to see Rev Pro in, what would be, 2017, tickets for the London Cockpit, for those monthly shows, was like £15.50. So you go with £20 and pay for your tube, most likely. Now, if you're going to their new venue, Porchester Hall, with fees, you're looking at, you know, thick end of £30, so nearly double. And, you know, that's just one example, and you can rattle them off. You know, ticket price and wrestling have gone up, but so is everything else. You know, that's inflation. But that's the issue. Everyone's costs, especially since the pandemic of sort, you know, your electric bills are up, your gas bills are up. Food's gotten more expensive. You know, your rent, your mortgage is up. Wages, maybe not so much. And I guess this is where the rubber meets the road. That crunch is absolutely going to start biting, especially when you increase your output. Slowly moving to other towns, you know, can be a benefit, but it's also a gamble. You know, running 12 shows a year in London, great. You know, you're running 6 in Sheffield, 6 in in Coventry next year. Southampton likely to get the same half dozen. Then you look in towns like Stevenage where, you know, they've dropped from 3 to 2. The international dates, and boy, that's something which, you know, could be problematic. You know, now, if you're going to be one of those sickos, and you know, thankfully there aren't that many, but back in the day, plenty of them existed, one of those sickos who travel to every single Rev Pro show across the country, it's getting unaffordable. And the issue you're going to have now is, their on-demand platform is about, what, £8 a month? Well, you're now at the point where, you know, watching the on-demand, because you had a Your Call show a quarter and, you know, a monthly cockpit, maybe a show elsewhere, people maybe didn't see the value in that. Nowadays, or when RevPro's running virtually every weekend, that £8 a month, you know, it's nothing, you know, relatively compared to the price of a ticket, it's nothing. But that's where the big risk hits, is if your product slips from being, I need to see this in person, and then, you know, the extra cost of, you know, the travel, you know, drinks, etc., versus, you know what, I'm interested, I'll happily pay the £8 for this month because there's big show X happening here, but I don't think it's worth going in person. That's the segment of the crowd you really want to avoid losing, because, you know, your ticket's £30 to use a round number. You're going to have to sell, what, 4 on-demands just to make the same, you know, pounds and pennies. And, you know, that's before you even take, whatever cut Vimeo takes for the on-demand service. And granted, there's probably a lot more profit in the VOD subscriptions, but at the end of the day, if everyone shifts from going to watch it live and just watches at home on their phone, on the TV, on the laptop, it's a much different product not to watch live. And certainly one of the knocks of RevPro has been not just how quiet the crowd has been, save for the few chosen names, shall we say. But yeah, as promotions, you know, continue to expand, it's a very delicate balancing act they have to pull off. It's all well and good running shows on a weekly basis, but if you get to a point where, you know, it wasn't too long ago, there was a show they ran in St. Neots where I think, you know, they were barely hitting 3 figures for a crowd. Now, granted, you know, St. Neots is not a venue they run now because the venue is unavailable, but as good as the shows are, if you're not getting the bodies through the gate, you can, you know, have as many shows as you want, but if it then becomes unattractive to watch because, you know, you're playing in front of empty chairs, or if the crowd's silent, the next step is, you know, clicking cancel my VOD subscription. And yeah, it's a slippery slope. You know, I would certainly wouldn't want to be, you know, in charge of, you know, deciding dates, what have you. But that's the whole thing promoting wrestling. You know, you run the shows you think you can, you know, A, sell tickets to, but you have enough content to fill. And, you know, unfortunately, these days, pro wrestling is very much that. It is content. You know, a lot of matches that eventually should weave together to, you know, tell a story that wants to draw people back in for more. But at the same time, the, I guess, chaotic nature of how RevPro shows seem to be coming together lately is also having a undesired effect, shall we say. But hopefully things will change in 2026. But I want to talk about a couple of shows from 2025. Well, I did want to, except the big, you know, tentpole event from September still hasn't emerged. The second Trios Grand Prix. Now, I'm recording this on the evening of December the 8th. So we're about two and a half months on from that weekend in Barcelona. And as we sat here now, we only have one of those two shows out on demand. And, you know, back in the day, you know, long-time BritRest fans will be painfully familiar with the cry of, when's it going to be on demand? You know, certainly it made John Bradley lose his temper a few times with fans on Twitter, but, you know, about as famous as now. This Barcelona show, it's may as well be the Rio de Janeiro Intercontinental title tournament in terms of it ever being a thing, because, yeah, there's photos from the weekend, you know, the Young Guns and Leon Slater, you know, were photographed as winners with the trophies and what have you. But yeah, that weekend just seems to be, in hindsight, something of a watershed for RevPro. I say, the Young Guns and Leon won the tournament. But in particular, with Leon Slater, we've kind of hit a bit of a dead end with him. So the intensifying relationship between WWE and TNA, it's led to Leon becoming something of a regular on NXT. And heck, he's only just been announced for this weekend's Saturday Night main event. Not main roster WWE now. if you want to be all, you know, tinfoil hat again and just go, is this contract tampering? Or that's not something I'm really too concerned of. But at this point, you know, you kind of have to say, as far as Leon Slater, love him or not, at least when it comes to the independents, the time's come to just stop using him in anything of substance. We had the Live in London 100 show in October where Leon was meant to be taking a mystery point, which was returning Leon Cage, except he got pulled for WWE stuff. Luke Jacobs replaced him, that's all well and good. This past weekend, Rev Pro's Live in London 102. This Sunday we've got Rev Pro Uprising, where the announced match was Charles Samuels defending the Rev Pro title against Jay Joshua and Leon Slater. Except because now we know Leon's been booked for Saturday night's main event, Rev Pro's had to pull him from there, and the way they did it, you know, didn't exactly go down well, you know, with Leon's coach Liam basically saying that, oh, his head isn't in it, I'm rescinding him, cashing the trophy, he's going to cash in when I say. But look, this is all a bit of a mess, and you know, at the start of the year I made this point and got shouted down for this. Leon Slater is contracted, much like how Danny Luna is. And the point where, you know, her availability was very much up in the air. There were shows where she just couldn't appear and disappeared from because of TNA tapings. Leon's a step further in the fact that he very much has WWE's spotlight on him right now. You know, I would not be stunned if in 2026 or whenever his TNA deal is up, that contract is, you know, re-signed, but it's under a TKO deal rather than with TNA, which, I mean, WWE doesn't exactly give this much spotlight to guys for no reason. We saw it with Jordan Grace, we've seen it with Joe Hendry. You know, we know how this story ends. People who were fans of Britt Rez in, you know, 2015, 16, 17, 18, when NXT UK was sniffing around, you knew how this was going to play out. The second WWE had that friendship or agreement with TNA, you knew exactly what's going to happen. And to be honest, I'm surprised, given Rev Pro's own history with WWE, that, you know, they kept the story going. Like, yeah, at the start of the year, we had that big old laundry list of names who were very much calling for, you know, I want a title shot. I'm going to be champion at the end of the year. And I think that JJ Gale's the only one who hasn't even had a shot. Everyone else has had a shot and mostly lost. And yes, where we are now, we've got, you know, Rev Pro having to, you know, deal with the fallout from Leon Slater suddenly being unavailable again. And like, look, you know, you can pretend that, you know, WWE, you know, it's the only time they're doing this because I believe the outstanding theory is they're having Leon beat AJ Styles, and then that's going to be the big match for the AMC debut of TNA the New Year. Great, and I'm not intending to sound heartless with this. I don't care. As a fan of the independents, right now I can only compare promotions, you know, booking Leon in notable positions at this point, to that meme of a goat that keeps charging headfirst into a log burner. No, fire's still hot, and as long as WWE still has that interest with TNA and that interest in Leon, fire still burn. No, unfortunately, it is what it is, and no sentimental, oh, we want to have Leon have a very short run of a title. At this point, you just have to cut your losses. Yes, book him if he's available, but I think the days of Leon Slater being anything, you know, substantial to the scene, you've just got to cut your losses. You know, enjoy it when if you can book him, but you just cannot plan around him. Heck, there's been guys who no-showed plenty of shows for granted other reasons, but were not brought back. And, you know, harsh as may be, same treatment's got to be there. If you can get him, great, but time has come to stop planning around Leon Slater. Of course, this coming Sunday, without Leon, we have Rev Pro Uprising in Cardiff. This is typically one of their tentpole shows, end of the year show for Rev Pro. It's in Cardiff because AW's in town, which is why it's a venue that, or a city that Rev Pro haven't run for quite some time. You're looking at February 2023 and October 2017 for the only two times Rev Pro have run in the city of Cardiff. And yeah, the card on paper looks solid, but if you've been watching the shows going in, It's been a lot of mental gymnastics to get to this show. Whether it's a written review or another episode of Euroclutch will be something on Voices of Wrestling about this show, certainly for myself. But going through this lineup, it's, like I say, strong on paper to a point, but also a little bit underwhelming because of various factors along the way. As I just said, the main event, or I guess expected main event until Mercedes Moné's match, was Shaw Samuels defending the RevPro title against now just Jay Joshua. Of course, Jay Joshua from Wales, and you'd expect another big hometown pop for him winning, especially considering that, you know, he came up short in Lyon in France earlier this year. So you'd expect that surely, you know, the comeuppance is here. But there's something about this, especially, you know, the late change to match, and also just how Jay Joshua looked against Cameron Kai on this past weekend show. You know, your, you know, big title contender pretty much, you know, taking, you know, 25% of a match against Cameron Kai, who, with all due respect, isn't exactly pulling up trees in RevPro. You know, it's just a weird, weird piece of booking. So, yeah, we can look at that. Elsewhere, we have got Michael Oku against Conor Mills. That was the first match announced for show. But Michael Oku being out injured for 2 months has meant that really they've not been able to do much of anything in terms of build. First time they've met in 3 years. On paper, big match, but again, just feels somewhat lukewarm because we've not had Oku on shows. Also, Conor Mills as well hasn't been on shows to build anything up. So, you know, a match was announced first, but really has, you know, been there on paper, and most on paper in terms of promotion and hype. The Greedy Souls back in RevPro for the first time in the year. They've got a tag title match against the Young Guns. Joe Lando's winning of the Cruiserweight title this past Sunday was followed by the majority of the RevPro Cruiserweight roster coming out for scrap. Long-term fans will probably get deja vu for when Flash Morgan Webster won the Cruiserweight title and then lost to Curtis Chapman a week later. This time around, Josephine's Technicolor boiler suit. He's getting the Cruiserweight scramble defense. Robbie X, Danny Black, Leo Rush, Will Caven, and others. I suspect maybe a few extra names coming in there. As for the recently deposed champion Nino Bryant, well, he's failed up's a bit strong, but I can't think of any better way to phrase this. He's facing Ricochet in a match which very much can be taken across as you only lost the belt because you weren't beating Ricochet and we don't want our champion to lose here. Yeah, tinfoil hat time again, hey. One Called Manders against Ricky Knight Jr. is on the card. That should be good, but there's just something about, you know, RevPro and Ricky Knight Jr. has a lot of people turned off. Match should be good, but, you know, if the outcome here was Manders winning to get another shot for title in 2026, I guess we kind of need to see what dates has he got with RevPro. You know, to see, is it going to be a challenge of a month thing, or is it going to be something a little bit longer term like we saw in XXW this year? We also have David Francisco and his new Sons of Southampton. That's Kelly Six and Josh James. And hey, you know, scholars of wrestling, how well do the new whatevers work in wrestling? You know, the new Midnight Express, the new Rockers. Yeah, it's maybe get a different name, lads. They're going to be taking on three to be announced from the card I've seen, so we'd expect this would be as close to a squash as you get in RevPro, so just for 15 minutes. And then, of course, Mercedes Moné against Rio for Moné's RevPro women's title. Again, this one has been built off and on, but, you know, the Moné match was only announced, what, 10 days before the show, so not too much build you can do, especially given how RevPro haven't really had a long, consistent run with Rio on shows. We've also got Anita Vaughn against Alex Windsor's Cutthroat Collective stuff for Rumble's on. I know for London show this past weekend, they had teased Nina Samuels teaming with Alex Windsor, with the same promo having Nina telling us that she's a solo star, then want to go straight into a tag match, which, you know, I guess they booked for way out of that one, but yeah, Cutthroat Collective stuff still rumbles on with Alex Windsor still trying to knock off everyone in the group she's been part of, and, you know, Anita Vaughn joining since. I guess it's anyone who ever has and ever will be part of that group is very much in the firing line. But yeah, so I guess on paper it's a strong card, but build is absolutely lukewarm with all the mental gymnastics we had. And of course, the stuff with Leon Slater really souring things as well. You know, announcement that, you know, unavoidable in the short term, but in the long term, very much one of these, hey, you know, people told you so. But But yeah, elsewhere, since I can't really talk about the Trails Grand Prix show, and I don't really want to go too much into this because this was also, 2.5 months ago. WXW did their Trails Grand, not their Trails, their Pro Wrestling Grand Prix in Oberhausen at the end of September. There's a fuller podcast on this. If you head to backbodydrop.com, search for Auf die Fresse. Myself and Mike Kilby spoke for a while about the entire weekend. But, a couple of storyline threads throughout that. The Koenig to catch around Robin tournament won by Uhura. He's cashing in or converting that tournament win to face Peter Tahani for the WXW Unified World title in Oberhausen this coming weekend. Aaliyah Bloom was run up in the Koenig to Catcher. He's got a street fight against Robin Christopher Forverk, Tahani's manager, against storyline implications there. The World Tag Team tournament, of course, won by the Greedy Souls. They went back in November to win the tag titles from Planet Gojira, then lost from a week later because the whole feud throughout WXW's 25th anniversary tournament has been Gojira against The Grind, that is Robert Dreisig and Mark Empire as Planet Gojira, The Grind, Lawrence Roman and Nick Schreier, a feud that's been rumbling pretty much on and off since the whole Ambos group split up just over 18 months ago. But yeah, that's this coming Saturday, 25th anniversary show from Oberhausen, Germany. That's on Triller TV Plus and WXW Now. Well worth a look, and it's going to be one that we'll be speaking in a bit more depth in our end of year special, and one that also will be covered on Auf die Fresse, of course. But that will just about do it for this latest episode of Euro Clutch. It's been a while, like I say. Real life stuff's very much taken up a lot of my time lately, and this past Sunday was probably the last Britpress show I'll be going to for a long while. As I mentioned earlier, been going to Rev Pro mostly on and off since 2017. 2025 for me has been a year where not so much for Annus Horribilis, but very much not been their best year in terms of creative since the pandemic. For those who've been watching or reading my writings elsewhere and Back Body Drop, I've stopped covering Rev Pro since this past summer, and really the start of this year is where I sensed the wheels were starting to come off, at least in terms of how I viewed the product. There's only so many ways you can watch them try to hammer jigsaw pieces into the wrong place, at least for your point of view. The shows were fine, but live, it's the RevPro template just keeps coming up again and again to bite from the backside, and adding the fact that they run so often that they are now being actively compared by people around the place to GCW in the UK, it's that whole thing, if everything's special, nothing's special. And with me, that's where RevPro is. You can throw big match on a show and say, this card's special, well, great. But how you say something is and how you treat something, especially if you've been around a long while, you can see straight through, people's actions speak louder than words, I guess, what they should say. And I guess, on a personal level, being told, and yeah, if this is me taking stuff the wrong way, but being indirectly told you're the wrong kind of fan, not the best time to be getting comments like that. And certainly stuff which kept me very much souring on the promotion. But companies turn around, no one can be hot all the time, no one can be cold all the time. My only concern of RevPro going into 2026 is running that continued schedule. You're not going to have room to stop and breathe. Going into 2025, they didn't run much in January, and unfortunately didn't lead to a turnaround as such, but that's kind of where the drop-off fell. I mean, heck, you started the end of 2024, the big Iron Man match at your call, Cesaro and Leon Slater, supposedly the future of RevPro, and unfortunately there, Cesaro went to Pro Wrestling Noah and wasn't in RevPro for most of the first quarter of the year. And now we know where he is now. Leon Slater, despite losing that Iron Man match, was given more prominence. He won that, pretty much the star of the next the current generation rivalry with Michael Oku in Doncaster, and we know how that's ending this year. Truth be told, I've never booked a wrestling show in my life, but bit of advice for free in terms of reducing how chaotic RevPro seems to be. Take six names in the men's division, take six cruiserweight names, take six names for women's division tags. I really don't think it's for strength and depth, but sure, take six tag teams. Know who you want to have as your next stars and prepare to push them. Not have them all do the Goldberg win at the expense of everyone else, but have those six guys with six cruiserweights, with six tag teams, with six lasses, have them be spotlit. You're running enough shows where you can have, you know, people, you know, in these positions and not be on a show in January and never seen again until March. You know, book them, plan, get the dates, and just prepare for these guys to be, you know, ready. So when you do get your next big show at short notice, you've got someone invariably, if you've done the job right, ready to step in, rather than, like we've seen this year, crap, we've got a show coming, a quick mini tournament. Crap, let's do this. Have it feel like stuff has a meaning, not just because, you know, when big show comes around, you can point to like, see, this means something now. Have stuff feel like it has importance and meaning in the moment, and the people who are there watching live or on stream will feel all the better for it. But anyway, that's going to do it for us. You know, I say, I really don't like being down in Ripper. That's why I stopped covering it as closely. And hopefully things turn around in 2026. But yeah, we will need to see. But again, thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to have, as things stand, we'll have one more episode before the end of the year, going over Uprising from Repro this weekend and the WXW's 25th anniversary. But no, worst case, we're not. Now, if you don't get to listen to proper holidays, have a happy holidays. Be safe. Enjoy time with your family and loved ones. And we'll see you soon. Adios.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.